Ram Ram Ram. This Karti class, 2023, we're discussing Rosh Sidinity, verse 94. We're continuing from yesterday. I'll read a translation. Over Shivana Nandini, Krishna always flatters your maidservants in so many ways because he desires to get the festival of your indescribable mercy. I worship your lotus feet, beautiful feet, which are waves of very blissful, constant passion, always flow. So we were hearing a pastime yesterday that Radharani waited in the kunja all night for Krishna to come. He came, but a little late. He came, he supposed to be there at 11 p.m., he got there at sunrise. He had the obvious signs of infidelity and disloyalty, lovemaking from Chandravi all over his body. And he had the audacity to show with Radharani. And Radharani turned her back to him and looked away and told him to get lost. So he went outside the Kunj and he met a Manji out there. And he asked the Manji, please. He started flattering the Manji. That's an old trick. You know, get a good favor of your beloved, you have to flatter them and give them gifts and all this stuff and promise to be good and all that fake stuff. So then the maidservant says, I don't believe you, you're a liar, you're a womanizer. So Krishna likes these chastisements of the maidservants. They give him great happiness. So Radharani is, Krishna likes to relish the sweet nectar of Radharani's contrary, unfavorable mood, which is a type of viparlamba called man. Anger induced by jealousy and other disturbances of the heart. So the maidservant chastises him like this, then feel some mercy for Krishna. You know, if you pray long enough, you get mercy, you know. So Krishna kept trying this way, that way. So then the maidservants tried to pacify Krishna. He says, okay, sit down here for a while. I'll go in the kunja to see what I can do for you. So the Manji approaches Srimati, and you should meditate. This is you approaching Radharani, and sees that her man has cooled off somewhat. Radharani is breathing deeply, so the Manjari thinks, I think now is a good time I should start glorifying Shamasundar's sweet qualities a little bit now. By hearing these, Radharani will hopefully go over mine. Then the Manjari says out loud to get her attention, O Vrishabhanani, I know you're angry, but this Cupid of Vrindavan is so eager for your mercy, he considers the whole world to be vacant. And then the maidservant wisely does not say Krishna's name, simply calls him Vrindatavi Kandarpa. Vrindatavi Kandarpa means the Cupid of Vrindavan. Because it says Krishna, that becomes Udipan, the sound of Krishna's name. Become an Udipan to put gas, petrol on her fire. She'll get more angry. So the maidservant knows all this, what Radharani's feeling. So she says, oh, this lover boy of Vrindavan. Well, there's only one, but it's called Parokshavad, indicating what you mean in an indirect way, which Krishna, of course, is very fond of. And all his devotees are also fond of that type of dialogue. Parokshavad, vad means dialogue, talk, indirect talking, dialogue. So she calls him Vrindavan, Vrindatavi Kandarpa. So Radharani, when she hears that name, she'll remember the qualities that go along with that name, like flute playing and sweetness of his beauty, and she'll understand that it's useless to maintain her mind. Radharani realizes that if she doesn't become happy now and feel sorry, she'll feel sorry for it later. That's another type of mood of separation. Nayakabhav Kalahantarita. Kalahantarita Nayakabhav. Kala means fight, and Hantari means after. After that day we fight, you fight your boyfriend, and you say, get out of here, I want to see you. Okay, I'm leaving. He leaves, oh, I didn't mean that. It's too late, he's already gone. And his phone's turned off, and so you're got yourself in trouble. It's a game, you know, the cat and mouse type thing. So she, Manjari is saying, you'll feel sorry. So, and Radharani will have to send a messenger to search for Krishna again. The maitre understands by looking at Sravani's face, it's a good time right now to bring Nagar right before lotus feet. If Krishna will fall at the feet of Radharani and beg for forgiveness, she will give up her mind. So maidservants are Kala Desha Patra Nipun. They're expert in understanding the time, place, and persons. Patra means persons. Time, Kala, Desh, place. So Manjari knows timing is everything. Everything happens in its own time. The fruit becomes ripe and falls off the tree in its own time. So bhakti becomes more mature in its own time by the sweet will of Krishna. You can't force it. It's not by chanting a million rounds a day, standing on your head and eating one chickpea. People think like that. They think you're going to force Krishna to give his mercy by rigid austerity. That usually makes your ego puffed up, makes your ego inflated, and then you become offensive and proud, and then you lose all your tava balam and all your supposed power to buy Krishna's mercy. Krishna's attracted, we heard from the commentary of Albacharya, it says, Hari Toshan by Dainya. When Hari Krishna, when he sees the humility, humble attitude, and mood and behavior of a Vaishnava or Vaishnavi, he becomes Toshan, Hari Toshan, becomes satisfied. So you want to satisfy him, it doesn't say you chant 1,000 rounds. Well, that's not a bad idea, it's also good, but it's not necessary. Instant guarantee of success. Because ultimately you have to win the heart. You have to win the heart of Krishna by having a heart yourself. If you don't have a heart, it's going to hearts attract hearts. So you have to, bhakti is the yoga of the heart, heart yoga. So Maitsaran returns to Nagar and tells him, she's what we call a go-between, the mediator between the lover and beloved. This is from the expertise of the sevas, of the sakis and mandris. So the mandri says, look, Sham, I think Radharani's mind has cooled down somewhat. If you go to her now and beg forgiveness, you can get her mercy. By saying this, the maidservant creates a wave of ras in Nagar's heart. With great passion, Sham Nagar stares at Swami's lotus feet. Usually Krishna stares at her face. Men are more interested in the face of a woman than the feet. Vice versa, I think, also. I don't know about it, you must know. So he's looking at the feet because he's feeling guilty. Guilty. It's like if you have a pet cat or a pet dog, when they misbehave, they know they misbehave, and they have a certain way they hold their head. walk around the room and stuff. They jumped on the table and kicked, and their tail swished and knocked off the jar of peanut butter, and it's all broken on the floor. You come home from work and say, "Oh, pussycat." The cat sees you go, oh. They're so funny, they're so emotional. They're so worried about their master's pleasure, which is nice. Yeah, cats and dogs have some hearts. Some people, I don't know. So he's looking there. And Manini Radharani means, Manini means angry, angry Radharani. Sitting in a pensive mood, holding her lowered head in her left hand. Radharani's feet are moistened by sweat drops that look like drops of honey trickling from a lotus flower. Seeing Shyam Nagar's passionate glance, the Manjari thinks, it is as if Krishna's own passion trickles from lotus feet of Radharani like honey drops in the form of these sweat drops. That is why she says in this verse, because it's line from the, it's a comment on a line from the verse, Sundarananda Ganana Raga Lahari Nishanda Padambuja Dwandre. From the Padadwandre, from the 2 feet, is a concentrated, blissful, thick drops of anurag, intense loving attachment. So Radharani, by crying, or well, it says perspiration, somehow her feet are perspiring and conveying her actual submission and love, loving attachment for Krishna. That's why it says, streams of deep passion flow from her lotus feet. So in the spiritual world, any part of Krishna's body can do the functions of any other part. Any part of Radharani's body can do the function of any other part. What's the verse from Brahma Samhita that glorifies? Ashanti, Vanti, Kalyanti, Chandriganti, Ananda, Chinmaya, Salusala, Vigrasya, Govinda, Mari, Purusham, Tamaham, Vajan. That's what that verse means. So Radharani is showing here that her sweat drops are talking. Talking Sweat Drops. Interesting name for a book. Talking Sweat Drops. Love Talking Sweat Drops. So what does Shyam do? He falls at these long cherished lotus feet of Radharani and begs forgiveness. Srimati Radharani smiles, gives up her man, and from this proceeds, then it begins a new meeting, a Navamilan for the divine couple, which is hot and sweet at the same time, like boiling sugar cane juice. That's a verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita. It says that the love that Radha and Krishna share with each other is too sweet to resist, and too hot to drink. Like hot sugar cane juice. You smell it and look at all the sugar cane juice, it's going to be really sweet. Then you go to drink it and you see steam coming out. Oh, it's hot. It's hot. It's boiling sugar cane juice. So the sweet is called Madhurya Prem. Braja Madhurya Prem, Shringarati. It's like hot sugar cane juice. Too sweet to resist. Too hot to sip, too hot to drink. So sometimes you have to wait to cool down. So Radharani's sugarcane juice has cooled down a little bit now, so Krishna can savor some of that. So this is verse 94. It's only a lila. It's not, we say only a lila, but it's full of rasa tattva also, various types of nayaka bhavas and expressions of separation, union, and how many Anubhavas and Sanchari Bhavas all mixed up there for the understanding of the Rasic Jhanas. So now we'll to text 95 here. Oh, no, 98. 98's next verse here. This book looks like it's 500 years old. Page all yellow, crack, yeah, you turn a page, it cracks, it's so dried out. It's from 1989 or something like that. It's like 30 years old, in Indian heat, you know. The page are cracked. You know. I have books like that at the table. Every time I read a book, when I get done reading, I have to put tape on every page. Sometimes I think, this is going to be my last reading. I think I have to get a new edition. So dried out. So this is 98. And this verse, the subject is glorifying Radharani, different aspects of Radharani, obviously. It's Radharasa Sutta Nidhi, its notion of nectar full of rasa and beauty and qualities and feelings and pastimes of Radharani. With her sakis, her manjris, and of course, always Krishna. It's interesting to note, if you look at the Sanskrit, everywhere is Yugalnam, every verse has Yugalnam. Direct names of Krishna, indirect. Like it'll say Priya and Brajamani. So Priya and Brajamani means Priyaji Radharani and Brajamani Krishna. So everywhere it's interesting because the Sanskrit is very beautiful and very technical and very deep. And if you're a Sanskrit pundit, you can really appreciate all the nuances and flavors of it. But what do we see when we see these verses? It looks like Sanskrit translated English. Every almost every line, there's four lines in a verse, every line you find Yugal. There's something about Radharani, something about Krishna, every line. So it's like they're holding hands and dancing through every line of the book, every verse of the book, for 272 verses. 272 verses, like 272 individual dances. So, read the sloka. Yava arada yati priyam brajamanim pradana raga utsave. Sam siddhyanti yad ashrayena hi param govinda sakyutsuka. Govinda sakya utsuka. Sam siddhi parama padaikara savat aradhanam te nu sa. Shri Radha stuti moli shekara lata namni mama priyatam. So you have Priyatam, which is Krishna, and Govinda is Krishna, and Priyam is Radharani, and all these different descriptions of Radharani. Lata, Shruti Moli, Shekhara, Lata. So all different descriptions of Radharani and Krishna. You may have noticed there's two words here and out of four. It says worship, aradhanam. So we'll look at the word for word. It starts off yava. Yava means one who, aradayati. Aradayati, like radha, means to worship. One who worships her priyam brajamanim. So priyam brajamanim means priyatam Krishna, who's a jewel of Vrindavan. This Vrindavan is compared to be a great mine, M-I-N-E, mine, like a jewel mine. You get diamonds and rubies, emeralds, dig under the ground, Africa, Thailand, and different places, maybe India also, I don't know, and find jewels. So this whole land of Vrindavan is called a Manikani, I think, K-H-A-N-I means mine, jewel mine. So it's a Brajamani Manikani. So what is this jewel mine? It's a jewel mine of love. Love jewels. That's what the land is made of. It's called Chintamani. It's also called Chintamani, means praying money. As we say, Chintamani Bhumi Vrindavan Dham Ki.
Jai.
What Chintamani means, means a jewel that fulfills your chinta. Chinta means your desires, your thoughts. So what is the most only jewel that can fulfill anyone's desires or thoughts? It's the jewel of love. Praying money. Praying money is the jewel of love. And that jewel is found everywhere in every inch of Vrindavan. Because this is Prem Mani Kani. It's the jewel of Prem. So Priyam Rajamanam Proda Anuragotsa Utsava, you know this word Utsava, Mahotsava, Janmotsava, Radhastami. Mahotsava means great festival, dancing, singing, music, Mahaprasad, fun, laughing, all kinds of games and sporting and all fun things. So Anurag means the festival, Anurag, and Proda means great, big, lots of. So that's first line, it says samsiddhyanti. Everyone knows siddhi. Siddhi means perfection, yanti means to go. I'm taking ashrayena, I'm taking shelter of this Rajamani Priyatam and the shelter of Govinda Sakya Utsaka. I'm taking shelter of this friend with great eagerness. I'm taking shelter of my friend Govinda. Sam Siddhi Parama Padaika Rasa Rasavati Aradnam. I worship Radharani, who is also another perfection. He's a perfection of Ras. Her feet, Padarasa, at Radharani's feet, is the topmost transcendental Ras. So who is this Radharani? She's the crest jewel of all the Shrutis. Shrutis means the four Vedas, Atharva Veda, Rig Veda, Samaveda, Yajurveda, Upanishads. These are Shrutis, Vedanta Sutra. So Radharani is Moli Shekhara. Shekhara, like the dome of the temple, is called Shikhara. Shikhara means the dome, the cap of the temple, the dome, the pointed cathedral, whatever they call it, cathedral or church, you know, pointed part. So she's a Moli Shekhara. She's a crown jewel of the Shrutis. Because if you search the Shrutis, like Gopal Patabani Upanishad and Rig Parishishta, which is an appendix to Rig Veda, which is a Shruti, you'll find a description of Gandharva and Radhika. Gandharva is Radharani, the name for Radharani, because it also describes Krishna and Madhava in the same verse. The name for Radharani is Radhika also. So that's the word for word. I wonder, there's no lila in this verse. Nandas Babaji in his commentary, he describes different points of tattva and word meanings, explains the details of word meanings. I don't think I read the translation. When will that vine, the Lata Namni, when will that vine named Sri Radha, who adorns the crest of the Upanishads, Shruti Moli Shekhara, that always serves her beloved Rajamani Krishna with festivals of great constant passion. Proda Anuraga Utsava. So Radharani, what does she offer to Krishna? She is a personification of an Utsava, a festival. Her form, her heart, her pastimes, her activities are a great source of joy in a festival. That when Krishna's with Radharani, he gets someone to dance to, with someone to joke with, and someone to eat. He eats Radharani also. Bites her lips, bites her neck. I don't know if he eats her, but he eats her love. It's a great festival, constant passion. Proda Anurag Utsav. And her Sakhi's girlfriends are very eager to take her shelter. Ashrayana, Sekya. Sekya means, what does it mean? Go into Sekya means go into Seki, Utsaka. So go into Sekis. Who are going to Sekis? Radharani, Lita Vishaka, Chitra Chambak, into Lake Tungavedya, Rangadevi, Sudevi, Chambak, Sudevi, these are all the Asasakis, Radharani. They're Govinda's girlfriends, Sakis. Saki means girlfriend. They're here eager to take shelter of Krishna. Why? Because if you take shelter, you take shelter of Radharani, you take shelter of Radharani, you can become Govinda's girlfriend. That's the idea. So the Sekis understand that number one Seki is Radharani. She's Parama Radya Radhika, number one worshipful, savite of Krishna, lover of Krishna. So if they get her favor, she'll directly send Krishna to meet them. Like Seki please her, then Radharani say, give me your cell phone number. I'll give it to Krishna when I think, tell him you should come visit your kunja. Your kunja number, 984-75. A cell means kunja, private little cell in the forest. Radharani is the only, is Eka Rasavati. She's the only Rasavati. Rasavati means tasty, romantic, amorous girl. The Rasavati is actually a name for a cook. One who deals with flavors. One who deals with flavors called a Rasavati. In Bengali they say Rasoi. Rasoi. He juggles rasas. Rasoi. Rasarani is Rasavati. Romantic, tasty, amorous girl whose worship is the attainment of the highest perfection. Simsidhi Parama Radhanam. Aradhanam Sarveshwam Vishnu Radhanam Param. So this is the translation of text 98 of Radha Sudhanidhi. Now we'll look at this word Aradhya, because Aradhya appears twice in the first line and in the third line. So this explains that Aradhya means the supreme worshiper of Krishna is Radharani. This is the meaning of the name Radha. The verbal root, the mula is called Rad, R-A-D-H, which means to worship. Also means to please, because pleasing someone and worshiping someone are synonymous. If your worship doesn't give pleasure, it's failure. Your worship should please the object of your worship. So you're worshiping Radharani, you should do it with a pure heart and pure mind, with a full intention to bring pleasure and happiness to her. Otherwise, why are you wasting her time and wasting your time? You worship because you have to do it, have to do my puja. I'm in a hurry, I have to go to work, I have to make it a rush job. That's not the way to show love. Love is not a rush job. Love, you love, you're with someone you want, you're with, you want, you're loving, you want to, want a night to last for a night of Brahma. You're in a loving embrace of your beloved. You don't want the night to end in 8 hours. You want the night to go on for a million years. So if you're a gopi and you're in Vrindavan, it's Rasila, every night will be a million years long. More than that. But when you're having fun, time flies. They say time flies when you're having fun. When you're bummed out and sick and angry and all different ecstatic things, the time crawls like an ant. Not even ants are fast. It just goes very slow. It moves like a block of melting ice. Melting ice, as it melts, it moves a little bit. Put it on the table and watch it. Do you follow? So he quotes the obvious verse, because he's talking about the name of Radharani, and she's the most worshipful entity in Vrajadam. So then he quotes a famous verse from Rasa Panchadaya, chapter 30, which is Gopi's search for Krishna, verse 28, which is, because some people say, why isn't Radharani's name mentioned or any Sakhi's name mentioned in the Bhagavad Puran? And so the answer is given, as Shukadeva has such intense appreciation and love for Radharani, if he recites the name of Radharani or one of her, where's the phone? I need your phone. Sorry. If Shukadeva recites the name of Radharani or someone connects with Radharani, like Lita Vishaka, he'll go into ecstasy. It's called Avastha Chitta. His consciousness becomes frozen. He won't be able to speak or become dysfunctional. And that won't serve the cause of Pariksit very well. He wants to hear all the glories of Krishna in 7 days before he dies. So I heard a nice point by one Acharya. He says, Bhagavatam, describing Krishna's pastime with the gopis, isn't important to say that, describe the names, because Bhagavatam is describing the bhavas. What's more important is not names of individuals, it's the bhava that they represent, the qualities, the bhava, the love that they represent. So Rasik Janas and advanced worshippers around Krishna, they say this verse is Lita speaking, because this is her bhava, this is her Bhamya Bhav. This verse is Chandali speaking. So the who's speaking different verses in the Pranaya Gita in chapter 29, for example? Who's speaking different verses in chapter 31, Gopi Gita? There's different Sakhi speaking verses to Krishna and about Krishna in those chapters, chapter 31 and 29. And other places also in Rasa. And they're identified because you're identified by your Bhav. Like somebody might describe a person. They say, you know, so-and-so does. I can't place him. Oh, you know, this guy's really humble, you know, and this and that. Oh, that guy. Yeah, is he from here? Yeah. Oh, is he like this tall? Like, yeah. Oh, I know his name. Yeah, that's one. I met him. He's so nice, or he's so not nice. Hopefully he says so nice. What the deal, you know. Can't control your PR, you know. Unless you buy it. Whether it's Vox Populi, or what do you call it today? Vox Populi, new term is social media. But if you're in London, I mean, if you're in Rome 3,000 years ago, you say Vox Populi. Vox Populi is against Caesar. Acha. Vox means voice, and populi means people. Populus, populi, populus, population. So this is a verse. We always told each other. Anaya radito nunam bhagavan harishwara. Yan no vihaya govinda prito yam anayadraha. The gopis told each other, Lord Krishna, in other words, the gopis are searching for Krishna, and they didn't even understand Radharani wasn't there, but then they found some footprints of Radharani and Krishna. Then they said, oh, Lord Hari, Bhagavan Hari. They didn't say Lord. The gopis don't know the word Lord and Lady, Sir and Her Majesty, His Majesty, Her Majesty Radharani. They said Bhagavan Hari Ishvara. They said he was worshipped, Radhika, Krishna was worshipped by this other Sakhi. That's why Govinda left all of us and lovingly took her to a lonely place. Prito Yam Anayad Raha. Secret confidential place. They want to get the clothesline? Oh, it's still there, yeah. Showcasing our clothespins. Red, green, orange. At least you don't have the kitchen rags there. Look at the positive side. No COVID time. Jai Jai Shri Radhe. Is that top? Yeah. Okay, good. So that's the lowdown on Hari. Oh. I think go in a temple room, or in my room, get the start the darshani. It's in the temple room on the right hand side, or my desk where all the books are piled up. Because I want to see, look at the, I made a note here, look at the commentary. I marked a place to read Vishnu's commentaries on this verse. Because this is a key point. If you ever meet people and they say, where's Radha Krishna? Where's Radha in the Bhagavatam? Has a real superficial external understanding. Because you know, we're talking about Rasarachi Krishna and Rasavati Radharani. So Ras is based on Bhav and Bhav is based on the heart. So the Bhagavatam, 10th canto, is revealing the hearts of the topmost devotees. Names are irrelevant. Doesn't matter. You should catch up to what is this Gopi Bhav. Atev Angikara Gopi Bhav. Verse 9 says. To catch up this Gopi Bhav. So as I said, all the individual gopis, their individual bhavas and emotional temperaments and loving attachment towards Krishna is displayed. That's what you should look for in the Bhagavad. Not look for externally names. We live in a world of names. We want to name everything, categorize everything, weigh everything, measure everything. Or so many centimeters tall, so many kilograms weight. That's all external. It's all external speculation, or not speculation, just external measurement. It's like scratching the surface. You're not getting to the sar, the essence. Sar means essence. It's called sar artha, the essential meaning. Art means meaning, value, objective. And sar means the essence. Sar artha darshi means seeing, perceiving the essence of meaning, essence of value. What's the value of that person is not how tall they are, how fat they are, how beautiful they are, it's what is their heart. That's the value of a person. What kind of qualities they have. Compassion, tolerance, humility, love, care. All these are good qualities of cultured human beings. These are what we're interested in. We're interested in big men, big ladies, short ladies, beautiful, ugly. We don't care anything about that. We care about what's inside your heart. That's what matters. So that's our answer when people ask this silly, stupid, superficial question. Of course, we don't say your question is silly and superficial. But indirectly, we make it known that their approach to the Bhagavatam is totally external and mundane. They want the facts. This verse is from Lehu. Okay. This verse from verse 27 is from Lehu. I put it in my little block, memory block. Fact block. What does that mean? That means nothing. Facts don't move the heart. Love moves the heart. You read 1,000 facts, 1,000 names, 1,000 characters, 1,000 this, but you don't get the Bhav. That's there all throughout the books. It's stressing the Bhav. Meditate on the Bhav. Meditate on the Bhav. Meditate on the Bhav. You become what you meditate. If you meditate on names, you become a name. you get Ekadash Bhav, you get a name, you get a dress color, you get a skin color. That's all external. The real thing is the Bhav, Ekadash Bhav. Shiva Pranali. Pranali means a process, a channel, a process to attain perfection. It's perfection of Bhav, not some fancy dress. Like one Manji in our group has a rainbow dress, rainbow sari. She's a real fancy Manjari. Rainbow, blue, red, yellow, green, this, that, like, she's a real fancy one. Most of them are just boring dark blue and stuff, little, you know, paisley, gold paisley or gold stars, or, you know, but rainbow, that's cool. So this Krishna likes variety. He doesn't like serious. He gets tired of all these blue dresses running around all the time, you know. Rai has a blue dress, Vishaka has a blue dress, Lita has a blue dress. Come on, you know. Shri has a red dress, Rangadi has a red dress. Kasturi Manji has a crystal-like dress, looks like crystal color, silver, silvery crystal. And Tungavidya has a canary yellow dress. So there's a lot of variety there. But mostly blue. Why blue? Krishna. Those are most identifying with Radharani blue dresses. I don't know, I can't substantiate that. That's a totally off-the-cuff, prejudiced, subjective view. Because Lita has blue and Vishaka has blue, and they're the two closest sakis to Radharani. So I can use a background, you know, Praman. That's called Naya Praman, Naya logic. But it has to have backing from our Acharya, Sixth Goswami, so I never read anything like that for them. Just trying to show off, you know, my speculation qualities. Everybody's expert. Everybody has PhD in speculation. But how many people are expert in quoting Shastra? Verbatim, this verse, this chapter, very few. So we should strive for that rather than PhD in speculation. My guru has a PhD in philosophy and tattva. So of course in the verse it says Priyam and Priya and all these. So Priyam means Priyatam and Priya means Priyaji Radharani. So he describes those words in verse line 1 and also line 4. So, greatest Radharani is the greatest worshiper of Krishna because she has the greatest control over him. That's the 25th quality of Radharani. What is it in Sanskrit? Hey, Panaji, Jeev Jago. 25 qualities of Radharani. Yeah, 25 qualities of Radharani. I don't know, you can recite all 25 with Sanskrit, that'd be good. But I'll just ask for one, you probably can. The 25th one.
She controls Krishna
Vidya. Sanskrit. Prem Vasi Bhut. Vasi means control. The power to control Krishna. That's a power. Actually, most women have this power. It's a matter of degree. Little women of this material world have little power. Some a lot, depending on how whipped out the husband is. How uncontrolled the husband is, that's how much power the women will exhibit. Like a tiger. If you're a tiger and you meet another tiger, male tiger, then you better exhibit all your powers. You're going to whip the crap out of you and become the king of the tigers, you know. So if a man is strong and sense-controlled and fixed with his objective, it's very hard for a woman to control him. But if he's under control of a woman, the Bhagavatam just nicely describes it. A man who's controlled by a woman is what? A dancing dog in the hands of a puppeteer woman. She's pulling a string, jump, wow, wow, roll over, Run, catch, go get the newspaper, bring it. Yes, I got it. Nice dog. Here's a bone. Then the dog starts wagging and say, oh, my master gave me a bone. So man, most men are like that, unfortunately, for both parties, actually. So the word is, the word priya means priyatam. It's like we say, Purna, Purnatara, Purnatam. Krishna and Dwarka exhibits the full, complete qualities of Godhead, of the absolute reality, personal reality. And Mathura represents and displays more perfect qualities of the absolute reality. It's called Purnatara. And Brajadam is Purnatam Bhagavan. Purnatam Bhagavan. Bhagavan displaying his topmost, fullest expression of personality and rasa and loving dealings are in Vrindavan. Purnatam. So it's saying, we say Priya Priyatara Priyatam. Like Krishna sometimes glorifies Radharani in a tender moment in Kunja when they're not fighting. Those rare moments. rare moments of peace in their relationship. And Krishna says, oh Priyaji. And Radharani says, oh Priyatam. Priyaji means your dear. Priyatam means your Uttam Priya. Uttam, you're a topmost dear one to me. I'm your Priya, but you have so many Priyas. You have Sakhi Priya, and this Priya, Govinda Priya, and Sham Priya. Sham Priya is some artist friend of ours. She doesn't come around anymore. I scare her away. Sham Priya. She's a nice person. She's afraid of me now. Because she wanted Dixon, I said no. Yeah, I don't like, no, get my hands involved with different histories. I'm not much into history. I like to make history. I made history in 2013. Titanic went down the Atlantic Ocean. So priyatam eva arinya bhavati. Without being beloved, there can be no astonishment at one's worship. So it's very interesting. A phrase. He's saying that unless one really loves someone, you won't experience astonishment, chamatkar bhav, you won't experience astonishment by worshiping them. You'll worship them, and they'll be pleased, and if it's Guru or Krishna, they'll give you blessings, and you'll feel it in your mind and in your life. You'll see it expressed in promotion of your spiritual cause and advancement in bhakti bhajan. But if there's a loving bondage, it's called Guru Shishya Prem Sambandha, loving bondage between Guru and disciple. Then when you worship the Guru in Manasik Seva, because when we do Manasik Seva or we do external puja, Archanmar, Tagriti Puja, the first puja is supposed to be done to Guru. The prasad of Krishna and Radharani is offered to Guru in succession, in krama. But before we begin to worship Bhagavan and his Shaktis, we worship the Kripa Shakti Murti of the Guru. So that's why if you read any Archan manual or book of puja, ISKCON has a book of puja called Pancha Pradeep or something like that. Pancha Archika Pradeep or something, published by GBC. And Gaudiya Mahārāja, every group has some puja manual, or the Guru tells different ideas of puja. Yagapit puja, murti puja, mantras and system, way to do it. So all of them will say, and Hari Bhaktivinoda says, if you don't worship Guru first, before you do external archan puja or internal manasi puja, worshipping your manasi Manasi Murti, the Murti in your mind of Radha Krishna, or Gauranitai or whoever, then your external puja gets zero benefit. So neglecting Guru means neglecting Krishna. That's why I often stress time and again, as much as you love your Guru, that's how much your love for Krishna will manifest. That's a hard one to swallow. That's the way we have a phrasing. It's a hard pill to swallow. It's a big pill. Break it in half, you know, break it in four or five little pieces. One piece every 10 years. The pill of loving, surrendering the Guru heartily and serving from the heart. It's rare. Commentaries on Bhaktisiddhanta by Sajjanaranda Swamiji when he's talking about prasanga seva and paricharya seva. Serving the order and teaching and instruction of the Guru is called paricharya seva. And serving the personal body, cooking, cleaning, helping any personal way with the Guru, that's called prasanga seva. So in the commentary on that section, which I think it's 237, Bhaktisiddhanta, Anuchet 237, in the commentary he says, loving Krishna is enacted on the stage of loving the Guru, loving service to the Guru. Pretty interesting phrase. So in other words, he says, like an actor practices for a drama, they have rehearsed, they're called dress rehearsals. Final rehearsal. They go through, they say the lines, and this and that, and play the music, and change the scenery, and sets, open and close the curtains. It's called rehearsal for the final drama, or final movie to be shown or filmed. So the final conclusion is Krishna Prem. That's the goal. To attain Krishna Prem, we have to practice serving and loving Krishna on the stage of serving and loving Guru. As I said, that's he calls it, Sajjanaranda Das Prabhupada, he says, this is a secret formula to success in Bhakti Bhajan. He's quite adamant about this point. He really elaborates on it. He said, if we can't love our Guru, there's no question of loving Krishna. So therefore, you better be careful before you pick a Guru. That's why he says in Hari Bhakti Das, the Guru should wait at least a minimum 1 year knowing the disciple and the disciple knowing the Guru before they mutually accept each other as teacher and student, Shishya and Guru. And he said, preferably 4 years. And he even breaks it down according to different varnas, but that doesn't make much sense anymore because this is Kalosh Sudra Sambhava. Sanjayate. There's another verse that describes in Kali Yuga everyone says true, there's another verse. Sanjayate. No, Sanjayate Sudra. No, Kali Yuga Sanjayate. Everyone is born with the nature.
Jamana Jayate Sudra.
Jamana.
Janmana Jayate Shudra.
Yeah, Janmana Jayate Shudra.
Samsara
Dhave Dvija. Samskara. Samskara,
sorry.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, that's the way of staying locked up.
Samskara.
So all glories to birth in Kali Yuga because you're all Shudras. That's what it says. Jamate Jayate Shudra. Jayate, all glories to your birth in Kali Yuga. You're guaranteed Shudra. I have a Brahmin threat. Come on, who are you fooling, man? You have Brahmin. Like in India, they make fun of Western Brahmins. Like here's a Western Brahmin, non-Indian birth. He's eating prasadam. He finishes prasadam, and they take the plate away, and he's got some prasadam. It goes like this. It goes like this. White on his shirt sleeve. Then he takes out his Brahmin threat. Close the eyes, start chanting, it's Anik, is Sri Sanyavandanam. I had said Brahmins in Vrindavan, told me this one time, I was visiting, They said, you guys, this Brahmin thing is a big farce, you know. He said, I'll show you what you Brahmins are. I said, oh, you caught me. I do that. Or drive the, better yet, drive the car, you know. Drive the car. Come on, buddy. We're trying. Everyone's trying their best. Get A for trying. So, when Priyatama is also unrivaled in sweetness and beauty, and the heart of the lover is filled with the pinnacle of love. So, in other words, who is, on one side you have Krishna, Priyatama. Who does he represent? He represents beauty, charm, and sweetness. Krishna represents beauty, charm, and sweetness. On the other side, you have Priyaji Radharani. And she represents sweetness and love. Loving sweetness. So it's a great combination, beauty, and of course she's of insurpassable beauty. But this, when I compare the two, because usually I associate mothers with love, not fathers. And women are more loving than men, anyone can know that for sure. If men were loving, they wouldn't need a woman. What they need is love, not, they don't need the woman, they need the love. But if they can find love without a woman, they'll be better off. You're a lot more peaceful. A lot more happy too. They find a lot more love also. They have to direct it towards Priyatam Krishna, Nagaraj, the king of lovers. So that's why Sripad Prabhupada Saraswati calls Krishna Priyam Brajamaniam. He's a jewel, beloved jewel of Braj. So we'll continue more in this purport or commentary on verse 98 tomorrow. Now it's Harinam time. Jai Jai Shri Ram.